Blog Talk Radio. Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
the man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Woo! Oh, yeah, yeah. lifts every voice and sings. Tell her then, heaven rings. Ring with the harmony.
Superheroes gotta be healthy. Get the Sister Girl Workout Book, a graphic novel available this Black History Month at the DuSable Museum Trading Post gift shop located at 56 and Cottage Grove in Chicago. There you'll find our growing line of hot Black Age graphic novels, or visit Only Studios at www.onlistudios.com. Plus, get your own Only Wears Art Star Denim Jacket. These one-of-a-kind special designs are available now at the Elephant Room Gallery at 703 South Wabash in Chicago. Only's wearable art brings out the art star in you. Indie today, Black Age forever at www.onlistudios.com.
Everybody, what the fuck you gotta say? Thank you. Christopher Dorner's time with the LAPD was relatively short. He was with the department less than 5 years. He also served in Iraq and was in the Navy Reserve. KKL9's Andrea Fujii is live in La Palma, where the gunman lived with his mother and sister, and Andrea has a closer look now at the key points in Dorner's career. Andrea.
Well, Lena, a neighbor here tells me that she saw Dorner here outside his mother and sister's home here in La Palma just a couple of days ago. Prior to that, she hadn't seen him for years. Now, I took a closer look at Dorner's manifesto to try and get a sense of why he started this rampage. In his multi-page manifesto, ex-LAPD officer Chris Dorner explains his outrage and writes about what he'll do to clear his name after exposing a culture, he says, of lying and racism at the LAPD. He joined the LAPD in February 2005. In July of 2006, he was deployed to Iraq with the Navy. He returned to the LAPD in July of 2007. He says in August of 07, he accused an LAPD officer of using excessive force on a suspect. In 2008, his accusations were heard in an internal hearing, where he was found to have lied. He was relieved of duty in June of 2008 and terminated in January of 2009. In October of 2011, Dorner appealed his termination, but lost. In December of last year, records show he defaulted on his home in Vegas, and his service as a U.S. Navy Reserve was terminated just days ago. In the manifesto, Dorner also recounts officers who he accused of racism, using the N-word, but they were never punished. Dorner threatens, "The LAPD has suppressed the truth, and it has now led to deadly consequences." Neighbors say he lived on and off with his mother and sister in La Palma, seen here, until a few years ago. One neighbor who didn't want to go on camera says she hadn't seen him for a while until earlier this week, when she says he stopped by. She insinuates, maybe, to say his goodbyes. Other neighbors say they never would have suspected him of such violence.
He was always gentle and say hello and just wave.
And so far today, there has been no activity outside his mother's home here, but we are told that undercover officers are in the area. Reporting live in La Palma, Andrea from GEKCAL 9 News.
All right, Andrea. We're
back down into Los Angeles now to our newsroom on the west side of the city, where Trace Gallagher is monitoring developments. Trace, this manifesto from this suspect who's targeting cops, it's stunning.
It is stunning, Shep, and it says he wants to kill cops because he believes cops ruined his name when they fired him and accused him of lying. Now, he acknowledges that he will not be alive when his name is cleared, but then again, police have no intention of clearing it. They think that he is a cold-blooded killer. Dorner says the L.A. cops are more racist today than they were during the Rodney King era. And when it comes to killing them, he wants to start small, get bigger, using their tactics. He writes, and I'm quoting here, "You are aware that I have always been the top shot, highest score, an expert in rifle qualifications in every unit I've been in. I will utilize every bit of small arms training, demolition, ordnance, and survival training I've been given." Police say they believe him because they trained him. He started with the LA Police Department, Shep, 8 years ago today.
Wow. Now, Trace, I've read this thing, and he talks about Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper and Willie Geist from NBC. It's bizarre.
A lot of people on television, he talks about politics, Hillary Clinton and George W. Bush. He talks about a lot of pop culture, Shep, and more importantly, he names the people on the Los Angeles Police Department, 40 names in all, and none of them are being made public. Everybody in the manifesto is now getting extra protection. In fact, one of the police officers who was shot and wounded today was actually protecting a target named in that manifesto. Dorner says he wants the police and their families killed, saying, again, quoting here, "Suppressing the truth will lead to deadly consequences for you and your family. There will be an element of surprise where you work, live, eat, and sleep." Dr. Keith Ablo says he's apparently lost his empathy. Listen.
He's now devoid of that, and so he is like a runaway train. He's capable in a terrible way of inflicting awful suffering and feeling nothing because he has severed himself from his feelings.
I just want to mention they are still searching snow tracks in the Big Bear Mountain, Shep. The sun sets in about 40 minutes. They're expecting snow and rain up there tonight with a low temperature of about 20 degrees.
Our Shep. Coverage continues throughout the evening with the help of Trace and up on Big Bear. Thanks. That manifesto references a man named James Usura, calling him a great friend and attorney. We spoke with James today, our colleagues did here at Fox News, and he said he'd not talked to the suspect in about 4 years. The chief Fox Sports correspondent, Jonathan Hunt, with more on this guy. Any insight from him?
Yeah, we spoke to James Ussera at some length today, Shep, by phone. We talked to him about how he first learned about all of this that was happening with his old friend, Christopher Dorner, and he told us that when he first found out, he was just stunned.
I'm just befuddled, absolutely befuddled. You know, it's no one expects to come to work and have an email from a reporter from the Los Angeles Times telling me that I'm mentioned in a manifesto and that someone who I consider a friend is, you know, has gone on a killing spree or allegedly gone on a killing spree. So I was absolutely befuddled and shocked.
James Ussera attended University of Southern Utah and played football there with Christopher Dorner. They both had pretty stringent political views, he said. They used to argue a lot about those politics, but he said of Christopher Dorner, he never saw a hint of a violent nature.
He seemed very rational and, you know, articulate and intelligent and well-reasoned. Nothing about his behavior in my experience suggested that he was violent in any fashion or that he was, unreasonable or would take such drastic type steps.
Now, we wrapped up the conversation by asking Mr. Ussera what his message would be to his old friend Christopher Dorner. Listen.
My message to him would simply be turn yourself in and get this situation resolved. Enough damage is done. My thoughts and prayers go out to the people who have been affected by this most intimately and the families who have been devastated by this. And so, my message to Mr. Dorner would simply be turn yourself in and put an end to this.
Now, talking of how this might end, Christopher Dorner wrote in that so-called manifesto of his friend James Ussera, quote, "I'm sorry I'll never get to go on that moose and bear hunt with you. I love you, bro." Certainly doesn't sound, Shep, like a man who is planning to see any of his old friends ever again.
No, he clearly is not. Jonathan Hunt continuing our coverage.
347-838-9825. I'm just chiming in with y'all right now. Trying to give a little history on my man, Christopher Dorner. Well, not my man. Well, some people say he's a modern-day Django, a reinvented Nat Turner, a Black Rambo. Now, it is difficult to get an opinion of who he is unless you read his manifesto, which I have read, and that's why I decided to dedicate this show to give us information on what's going on. To me, it reads like an NWA album, Fuck the Police. Now, he says a lot in his manifesto. I'm going to play some more cuts on it, but I just want to know what you were thinking about. 347-838-9825. Hold on, call. I'm going to get to you in 1 minute. Be back in a second, everybody.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the word got in my way.
Can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop the bop. Bop it out of bebop. Bop the bop. Yeah, bass man. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Sound good. Yeah. Saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it. Yeah. the stage. Jimmy want a piece of your chocolate cake. But Marty knows that Jimmy wants a face. So Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got soul. Sooner or later, the time comes around for a man to be a man, take back his sound. I gotta do something to shake things up. I like Johnny Mathis, but I can't do that stuff. But Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got S-O-U-L soul. What I can do, baby, is show my soul. Cause Jimmy got soul, Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got soul.
Black Ink Incorporated presents Valentine's Day New School Old School Hip Hop Music Thursday. And every Thursday at Pulaski Hall, West Hunting Park Ave, across from Grant High School. Doors open at 8 p.m. $3 shot drinks, $5 mixed drinks, $10 admission. Ladies, you're free before 11. 25 and over with ID a must. Free light buffet. Upstairs, a live performance from Montana Black and the sounds of DJ Smooth. Valentine's Day, New School, Old School Hip Hop Music Thursday. And every Thursday at Pulaski Hall, West Hunting Park Ave, across from Gratz High School. Relax downstairs and chill. Mingle and have uninterrupted conversations. 25 and over with ID a must. $3 shot drinks, $5 mixed drinks, $10 admission. It's New School, Old School Hip Hop Music Thursday at Pulaski Hall, West Hunting Park. Another Black Ink Incorporated production.
347-838-9825. Let me go ahead and this is coming from the LA Morning Show. And it's a very interesting perspective. This is how the media now is looking at it. And I'm going to go off PBS also, giving their timeline on the shooting. Let me know what y'all think.
Talking, of course, here about the Christopher Dorner. Where is he? What's going on? What's in the past? And you're getting an interesting reaction and some interesting people you've talked to.
I have, but I want to just kind of give you an update that I'm getting from my sources in terms of what the current concern is in terms of where Christopher Dorner is. The next place that law enforcement is going to really focus on is the potential of an attack on where any of the funerals may be for any of the people mm-hmm. who have been murdered by him, because that is going to be a high target place where it could have a collection of people who are on Dorner's list. So if he is still on the loose, it's going to be unprecedented amount of security. That's what I'm hearing from law enforcement briefings. I want to make sure I gave you the news, because I know that we do news here.
Yes, we do. There are 40 units protecting families right now.
Right.
Now you'll have the funerals. The funerals are a high target area. But we all know what Christopher Dorner looks like. They all know what he looks like, so he can't go, unless he's disguised, into the funeral, right?
Well, I mean, right now he's been able to utilize the elements of surprise, his training, his knowledge. He undoubtedly knows how high security funerals, law enforcement funerals are right. done and conducted. He'll know how to potentially stake out a site beforehand or how to utilize the, you know.
But they know that he knows.
Right.
So
that's the game that's going on right now.
And he's by training as a sniper, among other things, they'll certainly be checking every angle, every rooftop, every whatever. It's not just a movie. This is real life.
That is. But I just wanted to give you the latest there. And I know, and the other half of what I've been looking at right now has been reaction. I know that Lisa's been looking at it in terms of Facebook, and we've been getting a ton of reaction here into the station. And most notably, people from law enforcement with law enforcement history not condoning. Mm-hmm. And we want to be very clear that I
yes.
personally don't condone
no,
any of the behavior.
Have to say that,
I know, and no one does. Yes. However, there is this light being shined on this issue of, you know, is there any truth and veracity as to what Dorner has said in his manifesto? And I've been looking at the documents, and I think that there has been, you know, we are becoming a place right now, and we'll hear from some of these people who have come to me saying, listen, racism is pervasive in LAPD. We have not improved as much as we've wanted to since Rodney King. There is a code of silence. You can't report your supervisors. Those themes are themes that are out there, and they can't be just dismissed while we're looking for him.
Is there any police department that functions in this country that doesn't have a code of silence?
I have not seen it. I think it's an element and an aspect of law enforcement.
Yeah.
But I think
and part of it is very bad, and part of it brings cohesion because you're looking out for each other.
Right. I mean, and one of the things that I've talked to some of these officers about is, you know, on the face, LAPD seems to be very diversified. I mean, I've worked with every different type of ethnicity.
Two African-American police chiefs in the last 15 years.
Right. So, that part was surprising me to think, you know, racism is as pervasive as it is when there is so much ethnicity within the department itself and from every level. But there are people who will say that it is still run, the decisions at the top still are an old boys club, and that racism is still prevalent, and you can't report anything because if you do, various repercussions will happen. From, you know, one of the repercussions that I've been hearing is, okay, if you report something, you don't want to be that cop that then calls for backup, because guess what, backup's not going to come to help you. And this hazing stuff that we've heard about still exists. So these are things that we're looking at. Of course, it doesn't condone anything in any way.
It's a big city police department, and yeah, there are all kinds of issues. I said earlier, in other societies, men self-immolate. They burn themselves on the steps of the police department or the courthouse to make their point. They take their own lives to get the attention focused on the issue.
Well, it's like the suicide bombers. Yes. I mean, I wish that
I'm saying those people aren't like the suicide bombers.
Right. Yes.
They're killing themselves to make the point.
True.
That's one way of making the point, rather than killing innocent family members.
Right. Well, and why didn't Chris Dorner call me and say, I would love the news to expose this? Why did he send the package to Anderson Cooper before he started killing anybody?
Because you're not dealing with an emotionally balanced mind, quite obviously. Read the manifesto.
Right.
There are points in the manifesto where you say, that makes a lot of sense. And then why did he put... But we are discussing, as Chief Beck said, whatever you feel about the police department, what Chief Beck said, you're talking about a homicide guy here.
That's right.
We're starting to quote his philosophy.
That's right. And also, it should be noted that there are a lot of fantastic, wonderful police officers.
Sure.
And this is not necessarily everybody, but it can be true of someone's experience.
All right. You folks are all weighing in, by the way, on Facebook. So if you go to our Facebook, what is the address here?
It's Fox LA.
Fox LA Los Angeles
on
Facebook.
It.
You go ahead and weigh in what you hear what Robin is saying here. So go to our Facebook page. Like us, as we say, and we want to hear what you have to say. We're actually looking at these things and getting some sense of the tenor of how people are reacting.
I'm reading them.
Yeah, that was Fox in L.A. Now, I'm not taking no sides on it, but the manifesto does pull on strings. Now, I have two opinions on it, and I'm not going to reveal them until after I put the case out there for you to hear them. But take this for note. If you're listening to this and have not read the manifesto, please go read the manifesto. Then come listen to this again. Continue to listen to the show. This is from Mark Suarez on PBS. This is the California shooter may have named his victims online list. Now, it's about 5 minutes. Bear with me. 347-838-9825. Again, read this manifesto, everybody. Got that, Ebony? Well, your caller hung up.
Law enforcement authorities say they believe Dorner is stalking people he named in an online manifesto. For more, I'm joined by Frank Stoltz, who's been covering the story for Southern California Public Radio. Frank Stoltz, welcome. Have you ever seen a response of this size, and could you describe its extent?
It's an extraordinary response. As you mentioned, thousands of police officers, not just with the Los Angeles Police Department, but with agencies throughout Southern California, are searching for Dorner, and several law enforcement officers have told me this is the biggest ever manhunt ever. And so the reason for this is because he has law enforcement training, and he's also a former military man who has military training, and that's what makes him so dangerous. Obviously, he's already killed three people, and he has said in this manifesto that he intends to kill more.
Looking again at that manifesto, is this also an explanation for the roots of his anger? These are being called revenge killings. Does it begin with his dismissal from the Los Angeles Police Department?
It seems to. He was fired in 2008, and he was fired because he lied about a fellow officer. He claimed that that officer beat up a suspect, and the department found that he lied about that and fired him. And the first victim, or one of the first two victims in this case, is the daughter retired LAPD captain who represented him in that disciplinary hearing. And so he feels like this captain, this former captain, sort of helped him out of the department, failed to properly defend him, and that's why he killed his daughter and her boyfriend. And that does seem to be the beginning of it in 2008. Why he launched the killing spree now is unknown.
There have been recorded sightings over a broad area. What's the most recent place that he's been reliably located?
Well, this is one of the other interesting aspects of this case. He was reported in San Diego, reportedly tried to steal a boat and flee to Mexico. The rope got tied into the propeller, and so he was unable to get away. He was reported to have been at the airport. Some of his belongings were found at the San Diego airport, and now in the last hour or so, his truck was found burning up at Big Bear. They haven't confirmed that it's his truck, but it matches all the descriptions of his truck. So now police are focusing their manhunt in the mountains above Los Angeles, the San Bernardino Mountains. It is snowy. They have SWAT teams up there. They have closed the very popular ski resort, the Big Bear Ski Resort, and they are focusing now on in the snowy mountains of San Bernardino.
One thing he hasn't done is gone to ground, gone to silence. Along with this manifesto you mentioned, he's apparently been contacting well-known people in Southern California. Are they watching those people closely or giving them extra protection?
They're mostly focusing the protection on the police officers and their families that he named in that manifesto that he said he would kill. In fact, more than 40 special protection details have been sent out by the Los Angeles Police Department to protect people. And so they're worried that he will show up, and not just at some of these homes, but also at police facilities. They have beefed up security at police headquarters, at the police academy, at all police stations. And in fact, they're not even allowing motorcycle officers to go out because they're afraid that they're more vulnerable. And all patrol cars now are staffed by two, not one officer.
You mentioned the large number of personnel being devoted to this task, this search. But Southern California is a vast area, and of course, parts of western Arizona as well. How do you look for a guy? Have police described what they're up to in keeping an eye out for Mr. Dorner?
Well, first of all, you put a lot of resources, a lot of manpower on it, and that's what they've done. Again, thousands of officers. But it's interesting, one police official mentioned the Anti-Terrorism Center here in Southern California, the Joint Regional Intelligence Center, and that center is the one that sent out sort of the all-points bulletin for Dorner yesterday. And so it seems like they're using not just usual police sources, but federal sources, like even anti-terrorism sources.
Southern California Public Radio's Frank Stoltz, thanks for joining us.
Now, he said that the gentleman was upset because he lied. Now, that's to be here nor there, but before I make an opinion on it, I would appreciate it if you all would just go read the manifesto. Read the manifesto. Because the manifesto sheds light on everything.
Thousands of police across Southern California, Arizona, Nevada, even in Mexico, are conducting a manhunt tonight for a one-time police officer wanted in a shooting rampage. The suspect is Christopher Dorner, a 33-year-old former Los Angeles police officer fired in 2009. Dorner allegedly shot an officer in Corona, California, overnight. 20 minutes later, police said, he pulled up to a police car in nearby Riverside and opened fire on two other officers, killing one. On Sunday, he allegedly murdered a couple in Irvine, California. The woman was the daughter of a former LAPD officer. Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck said today that Dorner's experience makes him much more dangerous.
Of course he knows what he's doing, and we trained him. He was also a member of the armed forces. It is extremely worrisome and scary, especially to the police officers involved. You know, the Riverside officers were cowardly ambushed. They had no opportunity to fight back, no pre-warning. Imagine going about your work day having to worry about that threat.
Now, it seems as if he has everybody, and I mean everybody, afraid. Now, the one person said that that donor, the police officer, said that they were going to not send police motorcycle cars out. One officer said, we know, we trained them. It seems like they really know that there's something not right here. Let me go to another report for you. This is of Newsport about the manhunt underway.
When you can, with David Ono live from the LAPD headquarters in downtown LA, where a statement was just released moments ago. David?
Michelle, Mark, this is a shocking case that is still developing. There are a number of details to go through, so let's get to it. First of all, as you said, the murder of 28-year-old Monica Kwan and her fiancé, 27-year-old Keith Lawrence, appears to be a shocking case of revenge. The prime suspect, a former LAPD officer who admits to doing it, on a manifesto that he posted online just hours after the shooting, and it was a revenge in order to get back at the father of Monica Kwan. And the scary thing is, this officer is still out there, he's fully armed, and he has publicly stated that he will kill any officer who tries to arrest him. So let's show you the video right now. This is the man we're talking about, 33-year-old Christopher Jordan Dorner. These are photos we have obtained from his Facebook page. He's a former LAPD officer, a former Navy reservist. Clearly, he has a lot of training with weaponry. He is said to be an expert marksman. He's extremely muscular, 6 feet, 270 pounds. Dorner was fired from the LAPD January 2nd, 2009, and he blames Randy Kwan, a retired LAPD officer and father of murdered Monica Kwan, with his firing. The reason we know so much about his anger is because of that manifesto that he posted. Let me give you a quote from that manifesto. He says, I have lost a relationship with my mother and sister because of the LAPD. In essence, I've lost everything because the LAPD took my name and knew I was innocent. I know I'll be vilified by the LAPD and the media. Unfortunately, this is a necessary evil that I do not enjoy but must partake and complete for substantial change to occur within the LAPD and reclaim my name. Now, in that manifesto, he also says that he has other targets out there, a lot of them commanding officers within the LAPD. So as a result, the LAPD has reacted by putting out their elite Metropolitan Squad. They sent this squad out to basically be bodyguards for these commanding officers, not just for the officers, but their families as well, because they could as well be targets. Now, this is an investigation from the LAPD and the Irvine PD. Irvine is where the double murder took place. And this is something that was handed out to all of Irvine PD officers. This is a description of the suspect. There you see his picture right here, his description here, but there's a couple of things I want to read to you here that's rather disturbing. It says, Dorner is a former LAPD officer. He has made threats to specific police officials and their families. Dorner has made statements indicating that he will resist arrest and use any weapons at his disposal. Dorner has threatened to kill any police officer who attempts to arrest him. Here's more from Irvine PD.
Dorner's whereabouts are currently unknown. We are considering him armed and dangerous, and we are asking for the public's assistance. Anyone who has information on his whereabouts or locates him is to call 911.
As you look at this video of the suspect, this is the reason he is so angry. Court documents obtained by Eyewitness News reveal that in August of 2007, LAPD officer Chris Dorner made a complaint against his field training officer, accusing her of kicking a suspect. However, the LAPD Board of Rights found his complaint to be false and therefore terminated Dorner's employment for making this false allegation. and that is the reason he was fired. The attorney representing him was Randy Kwan, the former LAPD officer who retired and became an attorney. That's why he had a vendetta against Kwan and ultimately allegedly murdered Kwan's daughter. Now, back here live, the LAPD just gave us a written statement. They basically said that they are on top of this, they are investigating this along with the Irvine Police Department, but they do send out a notice to the public that if you see this man, do not approach him, do not talk to him, do not try to apprehend him, simply call 911. That is very important. Call 911. Now, here's a description, quickly, of this suspect, Christopher Jordan Dorner, 6 feet tall, 270 pounds, 33 years old, black hair, brown eyes. His last address was in La Palma, 4931 Sharon Drive. Now, here's what he is expected to be driving. It's a blue 2005 Nissan Titan pickup truck, California license plate 7X03191. Suspect, again, Christopher Jordan Dorner. If you see him, call 911. Reporting live from Los Angeles, David Oner, ABC7 Eyewitness News. All right.
Now, what y'all think about that? I'm going to take a break. I got a couple of more clips I want to play for you. So I'm going to run this into my second hour. But I'm going to take a break. What do y'all think about this so far? Again, I'm not going to give you my opinion until after the show. But I don't want you all to form an opinion by the clips that I'm playing during the show. So while you're listening, please continue to listen so you can get more information about the situation. But then go back and read the manifesto. The manifesto reads like an NWA song. Which NWA song? This NWA song.
Right about now, NWA court is in full effect. Judge Gray residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy Motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
But won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product, thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. See the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to take off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole off bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop.
Fuck you, punk. Read my rights and shit. It's all junk. Pulling out a
fuck with me. Some motherfucking villain that's mad, with potential to get bad as fuck. So I'ma turn it around, put in my clip, yo, and listen to sound. Yeah, something like that, but it all depends on the size of the gap. Taking out a police would make my day, but a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say.
Resort area known as Big Bear. The truck completely burned out, suggesting perhaps
He tried to cover his tracks by charring the car. And what police also said is now that they've confirmed that this is his vehicle, they have 15 to 20 officers up there in the Big Bear area who will stay up there protectively looking for the suspect. So the focus of the investigation now leaving here in Riverside, where he killed and wounded officers early in the morning, and moving into the mountains of Big Bear, Ryan.
And what makes this so complicated, Paul, is he seems to be moving around so quickly. Big Bear, probably about anywhere from 80 to 100 miles away from Los Angeles. So what about the officers that he has named in this manifesto and their families? How are they being protected?
The Los Angeles Police Department went down the list, the hit list, if you will, and put in a security patrol near the homes of each one of these officers. So that's how they're being protected right now.
Okay. And also, Paul, I'd like you to just to go back a little bit. You know, this has left cops so jittery in the area, and there was actually a shooting that was based on mistaken identity. Cops thought that they had this guy, and that resulted in a shooting. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Ryan, what happened was we were talking about those security details. Well, in Torrance, California, in the Los Angeles area, the police were on watch for one of the men mentioned in the list. A truck pulled up. They suspected for a moment that this was the vehicle belonging to Dorner. Basically, they opened fire. They hit two newspaper delivery man was hit in the hand. The other one was okay. And they opened fire on another vehicle in Torrance. No incident, no injuries there, but an innocent victim of all this says, police were indeed on very high alert, Ryan. Also want to give you another update. I think we can, if you get a chance, let you hear from the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office, which is the one handling the investigation now in Big Bear, where they found the suspect's car. Let's take a listen.
About 2:30 this afternoon, we were able to confirm that there was a vehicle up on a forestry road that in fact was the vehicle that the suspect used this morning in getting away from the scene in Riverside. We have currently a search going on with guys going door to door, as well as our specialized enforcement detail up in the area where the truck was located. We have a number of additional police officers coming from throughout the county. Our state and federal partners are with us as well. And we have deputy sheriffs from other stations in the county up here providing additional patrol to the citizens of this community.
And there you heard it, Ryan, the all-out, desperate manhunt now focusing in the mountains. Back to you.
Now, they also, they also concentrate in their search. I thought this was talking about the Los Angeles, the Nevada, and the Mexico connection. So let me see if I can pull some more. Let me see if I find a police chief. Let me get the police chief on Ebony, the L.A. Yeah, the L.A.
In Southern California, law enforcement is on alert as they pursue one of their own who used to wear a badge. Los Angeles police say officers in Torrance, California, guarding a target in an ex-officer's manifesto, shot and wounded multiple people in a pickup.
The LAPD officers assigned observed a vehicle matching the suspect's vehicle driving down the street with the lights turned out. Officers approached the vehicle, and an officer-involved shooting occurred.
The officers were deployed in response to Christopher Dorner's written threats to department officers in a rambling 14-page manifesto. Authorities say Dorner has implicated himself in the killings of two people in Irvine over the weekend. He is also the suspect in the overnight killing of a police officer in Riverside and a shooting involving two Los Angeles officers in nearby Corona. One of those officers was grazed.
The city mourns the deaths of Monica Kwan, Keith Lawrence, and our brave Riverside police officer. I also feel great sadness for the injuries suffered by my officer, the second Riverside officer, and the two uninvolved citizens in Torrance.
In the weekend killing of the couple, one victim is the daughter of a former police captain who represented Dorner in proceedings that led to his firing.
Dorner is to be considered armed and extremely dangerous.
Now, law enforcement authorities across a vast area are searching for Dorner, along with his pickup truck. Lee Powell, the Associated Press.
Now, he has L.A. shook. I can't see it. This has no Django, you know, one. If Nat Turner had military training, maybe Nat Turner. We have the D.C. sniper. It ain't like blacks can't be sniping people if you give them training. But if you read the manifesto, it tugs on a lot of strings. You see, and the funny part about it, there's really very few sympathy for the L.A. Police Department. I find that odd. Now, you would think, well, surprising, though, the Negro's going to say, you're down with cops, but no. A lot of European Americans, I like to say it, or white Americans, will support the individual. Like, let me get some excerpts of the manifesto. I ain't got a hand, but I'm trying to go off memory, but he talks about getting angry at them calling him a bully. And he said, I think it was in officer training camp, police academy, where they tried to call him a bully. And he said the two officers should have been ashamed on themselves for bullying this young Jewish officer by singing some Nazi songs that the Germans were saying in the concentration camp, knowing the gentleman's grandfather was in a concentration camp. The fact that he reported that someone, a disabled person, was handcuffed and kicked to the chest and kicked to the face, and by reporting that, he loses his job. He claims that the L.A. Police Department don't care about your children in the street because they will hold off the ambulance so the body can die so they collect overtime. That they take pictures of your children's bodies or your dead bodies and pass them around for the most gruesomest 187. He talked about how the Hispanic police officers go down and harass the immigrants because they know they have no rights by beating them and showing off. Talks about a lot, but I want you all just to read the manifesto because only then you can understand what I'm coming from. Let me see. Did I play this one? Just get that one up there. Let the player really leave it alone. And I can go on to the next one.
Our top story on CBS 2 News is breaking news. A manhunt from L.A. to Irvine. Here, Corona, a live picture, to San Diego and Torrance, where we have another live picture, where the search for an accused cop killer with a grudge.
What happened? Run it back.
Our top story on CBS 2 News is breaking news. A manhunt from L.A. to Irvine. Here, Corona, a live picture, to San Diego and Torrance, where we have another live picture, where the search for an accused cop killer with a grudge has resulted in two innocent victims here in Torrance shot by mistake. Good morning, I'm Ken Shocknick.
And I'm Sevilla Vargas, a former LAPD officer. Christopher Dorner, right here, is accused of killing a young couple and getting into shootouts with officers this morning. But so far, he has managed to give police the slip every step of the way.
It is a bizarre story with many twists and turns. We are closely following the revenge killings manhunt, a giant dragnet this hour for this former LAPD officer reaching a fever pitch now. It all appeared earlier Christopher Dorner might have been cornered at this military hotel in Point Loma. That's in San Diego. But authorities now have confirmed within just the last couple of minutes what they had here was a case of mistaken identity. Although it is believed Dorner was in San Diego overnight and tried to hijack a boat, possibly to get to Mexico. The massive police response that you're looking at, though, here from our sister station's helicopter now has been called off. Meanwhile, Dorner is suspected of ambushing two Riverside police officers earlier this morning, shooting one of them to death. Inland Empire reporter Greg Mills is live this morning in Riverside, where police officials are just about to speak about the shootings. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. We should be hearing from Police Chief Sergio Diaz in just a few minutes. Also, representatives from LAPD will be here. As you mentioned, two officers ambushed here in Riverside early this morning around 1:30. Two men shot. One was killed. One officer was killed. The other was wounded, taken to a local hospital, underwent surgery, and is in stable condition. Also, there was a shooting in Corona where an officer was grazed, and plus the two murders in Irvine. You take a look at the picture of the man that did it, and also you see the scene this morning here in Riverside, and police are going to update us on what's going on here. One thing I can tell you, too, is that I've been here many, many times at headquarters, never seen armed police officers at the door, but today they're very concerned about where Dorner might be, so they are armed outside the door right now. So right now we're just waiting for the news conference to start here in Riverside.
You see, only on the underground you're going to get what's really going on. Now, the man said he got the police department with armed guards outside the door because they know he's going to come in. Is this a reality TV show? Is this a real live Rambo taking place right in front of us? Now, they claim that they've been shooting innocent people because they are afraid. Now, this is going to cause a lot of damage. This is gonna be a lot of carnage. Let's get another one. Let's see if that is that one. Is this one or two about the police? I'm shooting everybody else.
Involved in this story today in the Torrance area. Chip Yost, we're looking at you now. Chip, we finally heard from Chief Beck on this situation. Apparently, a case of mistaken identity. What can you tell us now from the ground there?
Yeah, we just heard from Torrance Police for the first time, and we're getting a better picture of exactly what happened here and how all these different cases are connected now. Right now, we're on the Redondo Beach-Torrance border. You're looking at a scene right now. Like we told you, there are two different shooting scenes here in this area. This is the same neighborhood, just outside that neighborhood that we were in just a little earlier. This is just about a block and a half away. You see all the detectives down there. You see that black truck. Keep that in mind. You see that patrol car over there. Keep that in mind. Let's try to explain and make sense of what happened for you now. If we could go to some aerials from Sky 5 HD. Remember over on Red Beam in Torrance around 5:20 this morning or so, there was a blue car. There was actually, I'm going to send it back to you guys. It sounds like that news conference might be coming up. We'll get back to this a little later.
Well, actually, that's not the case. We're almost there. We'll let you continue on with the story from Torrance, and we'll interrupt you when we need to head to Riverside.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Let's keep going then. Yeah, so let me try to make sense of this for you. Again, this is the Redondo Beach-Torrance border. Right now we're on Flagler. This is the street you're looking at right now, this scene right here. This is Flagler. Just outside of that neighborhood we were in a little earlier, to show you some perspective, let's go to some shots from Sky 5 HD. Now, keep in mind, they've been looking for this pickup truck that this guy they're looking for has been driving. They've been on alert because he's been going around allegedly shooting at police officers. So you see that blue truck in your scene there. You might see in the back of it some newspapers. Well, that's the one Chief Beck was talking about a little earlier, was a case of mistaken identity, an unfortunate case where apparently some LAPD officers were in this neighborhood protecting a home. They won't say who, but remember there's that manifesto out there with a hit list on it, or what they believe is a hit list, people that this guy may go after. There were seven patrol officers from LAPD and a sergeant in the neighborhood. They see this truck coming down, which generally fits the description of the truck they're looking for. For some reason, they open fire on that pickup truck, that blue pickup truck, and hit two people inside. It turns out those people were innocent. It was a case of mistaken identity. Well, that leads us to this scene you're looking at right now, the one right around the corner. Torrance police get a phone call of shots fired. They respond coming into the neighborhood from this way. As they're coming in, another pickup truck, that black pickup truck you're looking at right there, generally fits the description of Dorner's truck they've been looking for. Torrance PD responding to a call of shots fired sees this truck. We have another case of mistaken identity. Apparently there's some sort of collision with the patrol car and the truck. There are more shots fired. This time Torrance police officer is the ones firing the shots. Fortunately, in this case, the driver of that truck was not hit by the gunfire. We're told he was also not injured in the collision, but what we're hearing now, this is another case of mistaken identity. The reason these two cases happened simultaneously, just a case where officers from Torrance responding to shots fired in the same neighborhood where the first case of mistaken identity happened. So just some unfortunate cases, obviously police all around the Southland on edge because of what this guy has been doing the last few days.
now, if you're 6 foot, 270, look like a little small Suge Knight, or clean shaven Rick Ross, stay in the house. Because they are popping people left and right. Let me, I think I got two more. There are two more. That is the first one right here. So I have a popcorn, everybody.
In Southern California, law enforcement is on alert as they pursue one of their own who used to...
We did that one. Well, that's one, yeah, that one right there. Take a break, Abby. Just go to commercial break. Come right back to it.
Black Egg Incorporated presents Valentine's Day New School Old School Hip Hop Music Thursday.
And every Thursday at Pulaski Hall,
West Hunting Park Ave, across from Grant High School. Doors open at 8 p.m.
$3 shot drinks, $5 mixed drinks,
$10 admission. Ladies, you're free before 11. 25 and over with ID a must. Free light buffet. Upstairs, a live performance from Montana Black and the sounds of DJ Smooth.
Valentine's Day New School Old School Hip Hop Music Thursday.
And every Thursday at Pulaski Hall, West Hunting Park Ave, across from Grant High School. Relax downstairs and chill.
Mingle and have uninterrupted conversations.
25 and over with ID a must. $3 shot drinks, $5 mixed drinks, $10 admission. It's New School Old School Hip Hop Music Thursday at Pulaski Hall,
West Hunting Park Ave, across from Grant High School.
Another Black Ink Incorporated production.
Now, if you read the manifesto, it goes like a NWA song I said earlier. And his popcorn's good. Please keep tuning the mic. But now, as I'm exploring the case with you all too, because I'm sharing these clips with you all, that's the first time I'm hearing these clips also. And you got trigger happy cops. You got right now what Donner said the cops do anyway. Pop, shoot. Now, you hear a lot of media portrayed like, oh, just a mistaken idea, yada, yada, but how do those citizens feel? But again, read the manifesto. Only then can we really understand what's going on. Let's go again, everybody.
Dorner may be in the area. They observed Dorner, and Dorner fired upon the officers. Officers returned fire, and one officer received a non-life-threatening wound to his head, a grazed wound literally inches from killing him. Dorner fled, and due to damage to the police vehicle because of his gunshots, the officers were unable to pursue him. Today, at 1:45 in Riverside, California, the murder and attempt murder of Riverside Police Department officers. Dorner ambushed two Riverside police officers, resulting in the death of one and the severe injury of the other. I am confirming that Dorner was previously employed as a Los Angeles police officer between February of 2005 and September of 2008. His employment was terminated. Based on Dorner's threat, the LAPD initiated more than 40 protection details throughout the region. These protection details were based on information contained in his manifesto, much of which has been posted online. During the course of the search for Dorner, an officer-involved shooting occurred in the city of Torrance. During that incident, which occurred about 5:15 this morning, LAPD officers received information that a vehicle matching the description of the suspect's vehicle had been seen in the area of one of our primary protection details, one of the people that was under the most serious level of threat. The LAPD officers assigned observed a vehicle matching the suspect's vehicle driving down the street with the lights turned out. Officers approached the vehicle, and an officer-involved shooting occurred. The individuals in that vehicle were hit by gunfire. Both were transported to a local hospital. One has a minor gunshot wound and is in the process of being released. The second person is in stable condition with two gunshot wounds. Tragically, we believe that this was a case of mistaken identity by the officers. The hearts of the Los Angeles Police Department and my own go out to the families that lost loved ones due to Dorner's criminal actions. Anyone who sees Dorner should contact 911. Anyone who has information or tips regarding these crimes is asked to call the Robbery Homicide Tip Line. Number is 213-486-6860. Or the LAPD 24-hour tip line at 877-LAPD-247. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous should call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. Tipsters may also contact Crime Stoppers by texting to phone number 274637. That's crimes on most keypads. All text messages begin with the letters LAPD. Tipsters may also go to LAPD online and report information, and we will act on that information. The city mourns the deaths of Monica Kwan, Keith Lawrence, and our brave Riverside police officer. I also feel great sadness for the injuries suffered by my officer, the second Riverside officer, and the two uninvolved citizens in Torrance. With that, I'll answer a very few questions. I will not answer specific questions about the Irvine homicide investigation. That is the primary agency on that investigation is the Irvine Police Department. But I will answer general questions.
There's a barricade situation.
understand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
But won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a cell. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product, thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. See the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to tape off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole of bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, it can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
white and striped like a zebra. I call that jungle fever. You in that control the threesome, just roll the weed up until I get me some. We formed a new religion, no sins as long as there's permission. And deception is the only felony. You never fuck nobody without telling me. Sunglasses in Advil, last night was mad real. Sun coming up 5 a.m., I wonder if they got cash still. Think about the girl in all leopard, who was rubbing the wood like Kiki Shepherd. Tattoos, one red, no apologies. The other said love is cursed by monogamy. That's something that the pastor don't preach. That's something that a teacher can't teach. When we die, the money we can't keep. But we probably spend it all because the pain ain't cheap. Preach.
Human beings in a lie. What's a lie to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer?
Going out to those people who were saying, Jimmy Lee, what's up? You ain't gonna mention Pope Benedict, aka Cardinal Ratzinger, stepping down. Some people say you don't get off the cross. I don't know. But some people say if your mind and body and spirit is not there, how can you spiritually guide the people? I don't know. I'm not Catholic. So my opinion, I really don't have an opinion upon it. Yes, I do. You see, when before Ratzinger got in it, I was pro-black Jimmy Lee, pumping up for the African, South African cardinal, the one that was in the basement of the Pope, the one that has a strong following that people come down to just to go see him in the basement of the Vatican Library. Rumor has it that he performed the exorcist. And Pope Paul couldn't perform it. They called him in to assist him, and he did it. They realized how powerful he was. So I thought he was going to make it, you know, but he didn't. So now they're saying he's up for it this time, a Canadian and Hispanic. Now, honestly, why not an Hispanic? I mean, Catholics are very big in Asian and Latin-speaking America, in Latin American, Latin-speaking nations. Why not a Latino? But let me tell you why an African. Because right now we are at war over there in Africa, let's not forget. And most of the people that we are fighting are what? You guessed it, Muslims. And what's the biggest war that's been going on over there in Africa between who? Yeah, Catholics and Muslims. So I'll be reading the tea leaves, looking at my crystal ball, and I might come up with nice predictions to see how the wind going to go. Because I didn't think Ratzinger was going to be the Pope this time. But he made it, so. And quite frankly, even though I'm not Catholic, but watching his doctrine, what he was trying to accomplish, I think he was an excellent pontiff for the time that he served. You know, he was cleaning up the scandal with the homosexuality in the church, trying to get everybody to go back to the old faith, because he realized what losing Christianity is, people don't believe in the old faith and laws. Maybe he saw that, hey, he can't fight the battle no more.
you have your churches now ordaining gay marriage, like going against the Bible. And will one day the Bible be looked upon as a book of stories like Zeus, Thor, Odin, Nemo? Because people realize that it's just a word, it's just a book, it don't mean nothing. That's the new thing what preachers are doing. But don't let me get on my high horse. It's Black History Month. Let me go in there and get some Ed Brooks on why he was a Republican.
The Republican, first of all, was because in 1950 I won the Republican nomination. I did not win the Democratic nomination. In 1952, I won the Republican nomination, not the Democratic nomination. And I felt out of loyalty to the party and won. But even more importantly, in Massachusetts, it was the Republican Party that had desegregated the National Guard. It was the party, I believe, much more progressive than was the Democratic Party. It was the party later on that the Democrats were supporting McCarthyism, for example. I was against McCarthyism. And the Republican Massachusetts Party were against McCarthyism. It was sort of a moderate wing of the Republican Party, and I think Republicans in Massachusetts are more moderate than conservative. Now, Barry Goldwater and along the line, a lot of that changed. The organization conservative took over more. But if I'm anything, I'm a moderate to liberal Republican. On social issues, I have to admit that I'm a liberal. There's no question in my mind about that. And I never deceived anybody about it. No one expected me not to be pro-civil rights or pro-women's rights or pro-civil liberties. And if they expected it, then they were sadly, grossly misreading me. I've never been anything but that. On other issues, on some economic issues and some things, I've always believed that man or woman should do for themselves what the government and the government should do only those things which man and woman can't do for themselves. And that was not a Goldwater statement. That was an Abraham Lincoln statement. But I believe that the party should have a heart as well as a head and recognize the fact that there are things that people can't do for themselves, and therefore government must do it for them. But I don't like huge government. I have a conservative bent in that regard. I don't like huge government, huge bureaucracy. I believe in problem solving, and that's what I wanted to be. A problem solver.
I'm sure that...
Not bound by ideological, philosophical, or party constraints.
I'm sure that since most black politicians were Democrats...
Yes.
...that there was a fair amount of pressure put on you about being... a Republican and why and switching over and isolating yourself from the other black politicians. Was there, and how did you handle that?
Well, I've never isolated myself from black politicians. I am a Republican. I was elected as a Republican. I believe that most blacks are Democrats because they represent districts that I'm talking about the Congress now. They represent mostly predominantly black districts. I mean, Adam Clayton Powell, the Abyssinian Church, the New York constituency, black constituency. And I could go on one run after another. When I went to Washington finally, as the only black in the Senate, and I guess the first one to ever been elected by popular vote, because the two senators who served from Mississippi in Reconstruction days were sent there by state legislature. It wasn't until the 13th Amendment was passed that senators were elected by popular vote. So the carpetbaggers put them in at that time, taking nothing away from One of them did serve a term. The other one, I think, only served a matter of months in the Senate. So when I went there, I used to joke that I could have my own caucus in the telephone booth because there was nobody there but me. Most of the congressmen and who were there at the time were Democrats and were constantly, of course, fighting the Republican administrations and whatnot. It was uncomfortable for them as well as it was for me. And then I wasn't in the House. I was not a part of it. I was in another, I was in the Congress, but not in that, not in the House. I was in the Senate. And there was no other reason than that for not being a member of the Black Caucus. I don't remember ever being officially invited to join the Black Caucus, number one. But I would have had to give some thought about it because it was a Democratic organization, pure politics. Forget the race, the racial issue. You're talking pure politics now. First of all, a work ethic. I'm a strong believer in the work ethic. I like to tell them what a teacher told me, that there are no shortcuts to glory. And when I use glory, I don't mean the frills and the ruffles. There's no shortcut to success, whatever that success may be. I'd like to reiterate what I was taught in early on. And I got that not just from my mother, but my grandmother, who used to say, remember your place now. And that disturbed me. And I knew what she was saying and why she was saying it. She was saying it to protect me also. And that's why I said, particularly the young black children, your place is anywhere you want it to be. It's left up to you. You make that decision. To young politicians, I want to make a plea for elective office. Seek power. There's nothing wrong with power if it's used wisely and used rightly. Power is essential. Power is what gets things going, and it can be used for good as well as for evil. Some people think of power, the powerful person as being evil. I think the powerful person as being good.
That was one of my great heroes of the 20th century, Mr. Ed Brooks. Listen, everybody, check out that manifesto. Then get up with me. I really want to dialogue with you. I'm sorry I kept y'all callers on and off, and those people that logged in and off, I didn't get to you. But I had wanted to really give everybody a look at both sides at what was going on. We're going to be on tomorrow. Well, yeah, the presidential debate tomorrow. I'm going to try to play it live and get you a little follow-ups, your feedback. Don't forget to call me in. And we'll talk about what he said. Listen here, everybody. Be safe. Good night. And may your God be with you always. Strange times out here. Be safe, Joe Gay. Watch that water in Ohio. All right, Jim. Let's put the plug on the sun. All right, everybody. This is Jimmy's Underground Radio. It's been a pleasure listening to you tonight. I got about 2 more minutes, huh? It's been a pleasure to listen to you. I'm going to have you listening to me again. Read the manifesto, then come back and play this again. Play this tape again. And then let's see where you're going on at. Because the reason why I play F the Police or Fuck the Police, how you want to, you know, look at it, was because that's what his manifesto was saying. Now, I was playing the outcomes and the after effects and residual effects of everything that transpired. But get on the manifesto. Like one reporter said, I'm sorry, I was cut off. Like one reporter said,
It's like we're repeating his manifesto, his philosophy, and not taking the fact that he's a murderer. Yes, he is murdering, and yes, Jimmy Lee is not advocating murder. No. No, no, no. Oh, I want to tell you my point so bad. I'm going to hold my thought. I'm going to tell you how I really feel about the case, but I'm going to hold my thought because I want to share it with you all, and I want to debate it with you callers. Pianki, give me a call tomorrow. You, Sean, you're a military cat. You know what I'm saying? You two did a storm. I know Sunita ain't going to hit me off. You know, I'm giving you a pass then. I know you want no controversial stuff. This has been Jimmy's Underground Radio Network, everybody. Good night, and may your God be with you. It's Black History Month. Stay black.
You know I'm proud to be black, y'all, and that's a fact, y'all. And if the trash that was mine, I take it back, y'all. It's like that. Licky, 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 licky. All that people hear the serious song. It's right, not wrong. I should stay right on. I gotta tell you something that you all should know. It's not a mystery, it's history, and here's how it goes.
White cop, Ice Cube will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform.